All right, we are beginning a new series called Created to Be, and we'll go 4 weeks in this series. I'll be here all 4 weeks, Created to Be. Now, let me tell you how this series came about. About a year and a half ago, we took an executive retreat, and I was sharing with the guys, I would like for the Lord to give us 3 or 4 words that every person in the congregation could remember. If a person comes to Gateway Church and kind of asks the question, what does Gateway Church expect of me? Or maybe this question, what do I do to be involved? What do I do to really become a part of Gateway Church and allow God to move in my life? And what do I do even to allow God to move? It doesn't just matter that you're a part of Gateway, but what do I do to allow God to move in my life and take me to the next step? And so we prayed about it, and we felt like that the Lord gave us 4 words, and those are the 4 words that we're going to be talking about, and there are 4 words that I think that we can all remember, okay? Here are the four words. Let me just remind you. I shared with you 2 weeks ago on Vision Weekend, believing, belonging, becoming, and building. Believing, belonging, becoming, and building. And as we prayed about this series, the title that we came up with is Created to Be. And I want you to notice that the emphasis is on being, not doing. We are human beings, not human doings. Religion tries to get us to do. God wants us to be. And if we will simply be what He's created us to be, then we'll do what He wants us to do. So there's an emphasis on being. And so we're going to talk about this, and we'll take 4 weeks, and I'll do a week on each B, each letter B. So the first week is believing. So this week we're going to talk about believing. Let me make a few statements, all right? Here's point number one. If you're taking notes, write this down. And if you're not taking notes, write this down, all right? Here's number one. God created us with a purpose. God created us with a purpose, created to be. Now, God gave us these 4 words, about a year and a half ago, and we've been going through the structure and looking everything we could do to make the process go along with the words we believe that God's given us here. We already had a lot in place, but we've been working on this for a year and a half now. And then as I began to prepare for this series, I thought of the word created, and immediately I thought of Genesis 1:26. And when I read it, now I'm so excited about this. I saw these 4 words that God gave us a year and a half ago. And let me just say right now, if you don't get as excited as I am about this, my feelings will be hurt. All right? So, Genesis 1:26, I'll show you these words. You'll see most of them. And the believing, I think I'll explain a little bit, but that's what the whole message is for, right? Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man. Believing. In other words, God created us to believe in Him. And again, I'll talk about that in the message. Let us make man believing in our image belonging. In other words, belonging to us. According to our likeness becoming, that we would become like Him. And let them, man or mankind, have dominion, that would be building. Let them build my kingdom on the earth, the dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, every creeping thing. Okay, let me show it to you again. Let us make man believing in our image belonging, according to our likeness becoming, and let them have dominion or building. God wants us to believe in Him, to know that we belong to Him, to become like Him, and to build His kingdom on the earth. But it's not just believe, belong, become, and build. We really felt like the Lord said, put ing on the end, because it's a process. Because if we don't see it as a process, if I just say the word believe, you might say to me, well, I've already believed. I believed 20 years ago. And if I say the word belong, you might say, well, I went through the class, I belong. Become, well, yes, I did the equipping class too. I have become, you see what I'm saying? And build, yes, we gave to the building fund. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a process, a continuation of God's work and God's grace in our life. So I want you to know, first of all, God created us with a purpose. Now, I really want to zoom in on the word believing, all right? So here's number two. Number two, God created us to believe Him first. God created us to believe Him first. Now, we'll get to John 3 in a moment, but if you're in Genesis 1, you may have to flip one page. It might be right there. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." God created Adam and Eve with the desire that they would believe Him. The tree of life is in the garden, and the tree of death, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here's what He said: please don't eat that tree, because if you eat that tree, you'll die. Okay, listen to me. God never intended for Adam and Eve to learn by falling. He never desired for them to learn by failing. He desired for them to learn by faith. He wanted them to simply believe Him, that when He said that tree is death, He wanted them to believe Him. And here's what happened, and it happens to us today. The enemy showed up and did the exact same thing. Listen, he wanted Adam and Eve to believe him. Satan shows up and says to Eve, "God's holding out on you. God knows that when you eat that, that will be fun for you. You'll be better off." And it's amazing to me, he did the exact same thing. God says, "Please believe me and you'll live." Satan said, "Believe me and you'll live," but actually they would die. Actually they would die. And that's exactly what Satan does today. He told Eve, listen to the lie that he told her: "If you eat that, you'll be like God." She was already like God. It's the exact same thing. You can't imagine how many times I've sat trying to minister to people and they believe that if they sin, they'll be happy. You're already happy. According to the Bible, the word happy comes from the word blessed, and according to Ephesians, we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So Satan comes and says, "You'll be happy if you do this." I'm telling you, it's a lie. And the reason that you're even beginning to feel that way is you're beginning to believe little lies along the way. God never wanted Adam and Eve to learn by experience. There's an old saying, and I'm telling you, it's wrong. Experience is the best teacher. No, experience is the cruelest teacher. Experience is a horrible teacher. Faith is the best teacher. There's not a parent here that wants our children to learn by experience. Do you want your children to experience a car wreck so they'll learn not to drive fast? No, you want them to believe you when you say to drive right. One of the funny stories from my wife growing up, again, I've told you how she just hardly ever did anything wrong in her whole life. So anytime she did do something, I love to talk about it. But one time she was in the shop with her father. She was a young girl, and her father had a soldering gun. Is that the best way to say that? Because you don't use them a lot anymore. A soldering tool. You know, gets real hot and you know what I mean? Okay, like a glue gun, ladies, okay? All right. So, and her father said, "Don't touch that. It's hot." Okay. How many people know what she did? Okay. Yeah, obviously she touched it. And here's the funny thing. He said, "Why? I told you not to touch that." She said, "You shouldn't have put it there. You know how I am." Okay. Debbie's father did not want her to be burned. He wanted her to believe him. God has always wanted his people to believe him. Always. Okay, we'll get to John 3 in a minute, but let me show you a few verses. Numbers 14, verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?" Deuteronomy 1:32. "Yes, for all that you did not believe the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 9:23, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, that's the border of the promised land, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. The only reason we ever rebel and don't obey is because we don't believe. That's the root right there. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now watch this. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And then look at John 3. If you've already got your marker there, look at John chapter 3. One of the most famous chapters in the Bible, the most famous verse in the Bible, and look at the context of that verse. John 3, beginning in verse 12. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then down at verse 36, the same chapter, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And John 6, verse 28, they said to him, the Pharisees said to Jesus, what shall we do? Notice religion, the emphasis is always on doing. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the singular work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. I remember a conversation with my son, my oldest son, Josh. I think he was about 13 or 14 years old. I think he had just entered the youth ministry, and I shared my testimony. I remember that's what precipitated our conversation. And again, I had a very sinful past, and so I shared some of that with the young people. I don't normally go into much detail because I think it's just shameful. I don't think it glorifies the Lord. But I shared some of my past. And afterward, my son asked me about some of my life. And after we talked for a while, I remember saying this to him, do you know what my greatest concern is for you? And it was a very impacting moment for both of us. And he said, no, Dad. I said, my greatest concern is that you will believe me when I tell you how bad sin is, and you'll never have to experience it to find out. That's my greatest concern. And I'll never forget, he looked at me right in the eyes and he said, Dad, I'm going to believe you. And by God's grace, he's 30 years old, or 29 or 30, somewhere around that age. Blame it on the jet lag. He'll be 30 at the end of this month. By God's grace, he's lived a believing lifestyle, and he's never gone into sin. And I'm proud of him because he believed his father. That's what God wants. God wants us to believe him. And here's point number three. God created us to believe him last. God created us to believe him last. Not just first, but last. Romans 10, one of the greatest passages on believing, verses 9 through 13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. past tense. There is a beginning to salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let me just make a statement here before we, as we continue to talk about believing as a process. We are saved by grace. There is no way you'll ever get me to move off of that. You would have to deny Scripture. You just cannot preach any grace plus works. You just can't do it. You'd have to go against Ephesians 2. You'd have to go against Romans 3. You'd have to go against Colossians 3. You'd have to go against Hebrews. You'd have to go against Romans 4. Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. You just can't add works to salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. But do I believe once and then live like I want to? Let me show you a couple of other verses. John 20, verse 31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now watch this. And that believing you may have life in his name. Now I want you to remember the word eternal and abundant life. Eternal and abundant, all right? One more scripture. 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not that you may think or assume or hope, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay, now I said God created us to believe him first and God created us to believe him last. Let me make a distinction that I hope you remember this for the rest of your lives. Believing him first is how we receive eternal life. Believing him last is how we receive abundant life. There are many believers who truly have believed and received Jesus and are truly saved, but they're not living abundant life now because they're not continuing to believe in some area of their life. Whatever area of your life that you are not believing God in is an area where you are not experiencing abundant life. You see, Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the first and the last word. Let me ask you a question. Who has the last word in your life? You ever thought about that? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to stay married or not? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to look at pornography? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to tithe and give the first 10% to God or not? You or God? Let me just tell you, if you have the last word, you're not living the abundant life. You can say, well, I believed 20 years ago, and I'm glad you believed. But if you're not believing, you're not experiencing abundant life. No matter which area it is of your life. Here's another way to say it. If Jesus doesn't have the latest word in your life, you're not experiencing abundant life. What is Jesus saying to you today? Not what did Jesus just say to you. What's Jesus saying to you today? Will you believe him today? Will you believe him in your finances? Will you believe him for your health? Will you believe him for your marriage? Now, this past week, February the 16th, this past week was my spiritual birthday. In case you're wondering how old I am, I'm 31. I'm not counting the first 19 years, okay? So I have been saved for 31 years and been in the ministry almost 30 years now. Hear me when I say this. There are two areas that are the most difficult areas for me to get people to believe God's word in. The second most difficult area is finance. To get people to believe that 90% with God's blessing will go farther than 100% without. It's amazing to me the stronghold, and of course I know what the stronghold is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If you have a problem with tithing, you have a heart problem. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you don't like that, take it up with Jesus. I'm not the one that said where your treasure is, there your heart is. Whether you give or not tells where your heart is. That's scripture. It's so clear. And what's amazing to me is, why would you even argue? Why would you even argue when God said, if you do this, I'll break the curse over you, I'll rebuke the devourer, and I'll open the windows of heaven? I don't want that. Why would you do that? Obviously, there's a stronghold. And obviously, the truth is, you really don't believe. You really don't believe. I had a guy tell me a while back, he said, I believe in tithing, I just don't do it. And just to shock him, I said, I believe in bathing, I just don't do it. If you believe, you do it. If you believe, you do it. Okay, that's the second most difficult. Here's the first. Marriage. It's the hardest area for me to get people to believe God in. I've talked with so many people in this area, and they say, Pastor, I just don't love her anymore. And I say, but do you believe God can do miracles? Oh, yes, I believe God can do miracles. Do you believe God can do a miracle in your marriage? And to watch them sit there and have to think about it. Listen to me carefully. If you'll believe, God can do such a miracle that you will fall in love with her again. Fall in love. Or fall in love with her for the first time. Again, it all comes down to which voice are you going to listen to. Do you understand we're still in the garden? You understand there are still two trees. There's the tree of life, and there's the tree of what you can figure out is good and evil for your life. Still two voices. One saying, believe me, and the other one saying, he's not telling you the truth. Every one of us, when you get up tomorrow, will have a choice. Are you going to believe? Are you going to continue to believe the Word of God? When we believe in Jesus and truly believe, we receive eternal life. When we continue to believe, we receive abundant life. Now, let me tell you one more thing. And this is going to be a little strange, but we can edit. So that's the reason I'm going to tell you this, all right? And because I just got back from being overseas, and so I can blame this on jet lag, so I feel really good about it. You'll understand why in a moment. I was on the plane coming back from Japan, working on the message. I'd already worked on it some. I was working some more. And every now and then, I told you this 2 weeks ago, the enemy throws my past up to me. Here it's been, you know, so many years ago, as I told you, 25 years ago, and yet the enemy just throws, you know, just throws my past up. He throws my past up. And you're thinking, well, you said you were saved 30, and I told you a few weeks ago, 30 years, and then 25 years ago, I had a failure and had to get that right. But he just throws this, I just don't know why, he just throws it up, oddest times. And again, I'm blaming it on jet lag, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm on the plane, I'm tired, I'm preparing this message. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because I have to continue to believe. I have to continue to believe. I do. Not just you, I do. So I'm on the plane, and the enemy says to me, that's what he said, you shouldn't even be speaking in front of people. Just like that. Okay, so I'm just telling you, I, again, jet lag, he said, you shouldn't even be speaking in front of people. I said, you should go to hell. We can edit, so it's all right. But you know what? The more I thought about it, that's scriptural. It's scriptural. So what I'm telling you is I'm glad that you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But what area of your life do you need to continue to believe in? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you, we always ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Could we change that just a little this week? And would you just ask the Lord, Lord, what area of my life do I need to continue to believe? And let the Lord pinpoint one. I know I got really strong on finances a moment ago. I hope it doesn't offend you, but I hope if it's been a stronghold, I hope you'll say, God, I want to believe you in this area. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of not being able to afford to tithe. You'll never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe, because tithing is what removes the curse. So in what area do you need to believe God? And it may be in the area of your marriage. It may be your job, your future, future is a big, big, big fear that the enemy is using against people today. Our future. So ask the Lord. And we want to pray for you. No matter which campus you're attending, or we want to pray for you. At every campus, in just a moment, we're going to have leaders at the front. We do this every week. If you're new here, this is not strange, it's not unusual, and you don't have to be some big bad sinner to come for prayer. Every one of us need prayer. Every one of us needs someone to agree with us. So no matter which campus you're attending, in just a moment, and even if you're in an overflow room, at the front of the room, at the front of the campus, we're going to have leaders that are trained and that love you and want to pray for you. And when we talk about believing, we talk about faith. Maybe you need to let us add our faith to your faith. Help, let us pray with you. Maybe you need to receive Jesus. Maybe today you need to believe in Jesus. Whatever you need. And you don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. If you need prayer for any area of your life, any area, as soon as we stand up, you'll see other people coming. As soon as we stand up, you just stand up and just step out to the aisle, because everyone will be standing. It'll be very easy. Just make your way to the aisle. Come to the front of the campus or the room where you are, and just let us pray for you, all right? Don't put it off, and don't let the enemy stop you. Listen, you'll hear two voices right now also. The Father saying, go, let them pray for you. Give your life to the Lord. Give your life back to God. Go and let someone pray for you. And the other one will say, don't go. So you're going to have to believe God. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person that has any prayer need at every campus now, in Jesus' name. Amen.